Morning. Today's daf is Chaf Tes. We are on Chaf Ches on base. We're starting at the top of the Mishnah. The women were hired for eulogizing. Women were hired to perform in front of the mourners in order to try to evoke the proper emotions for the day. So nowadays, women are not hired to eulogize. It's a minhag which is no longer used. And what we're going to be seeing over the course of the Mishnah is that given that there are days of the year which should be happier days, so how much of these women should we hire? And that's basically the guidelines that are going to be given to us in the Mishnah. Guidelines, Isurim, right? This is obviously is all going to be predicated on Minhagim, so I imagine they're more like guidelines. And I'm not sure if we could use the word Isur over here. But anyway, Nashim Mamoid. So we start with the Mishnah. Nashim Mamoid Ma'anos of Alom Metapchos. So as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, so again, there's going to be burial in Chol HaMoed, that we know. The only question now becomes the question of the degree of mourning that we're talking about. So they're going to do inui. So so that means they're producing sounds, but they're producing sounds with their voices of Alomitapchos, but the clapping that's done back in the day, so that's not done. So again, we don't know these minhagim, so for us, all this seems a little bit bizarre and strange, but so women would do various types of performances, so to say. So and so on Chol HaMoed, it needs to be curtailed. Therefore, no metapchos. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Asmuchos Lamito metapchos. And Rabbi Shmuel says no. That those that are close to the coffin, so they can do metapchos. They can clap because it's they're more intense in the morning. Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim, manos and metapchos. Now Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim. So they could do this inui and metapchos. They can produce sounds with their voices, and they could also clap as well. The amount of simcha in Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim is obviously less than that of Chol HaMoed, and so therefore it expresses itself with more of an allowance for hesbedim. But the thing you for sure cannot do is kina. Mm-hmm. Now kina is we know kina as lamentations and wailing, but obviously in the Mishnah over here, so kina is understood to mean something that is more impactful. It's more intense than the other two. The other two are ma'anos metapchos. Kina has to be something more intense. What is mekonos? So we're going to wait for the Gemara because the Gemara is going to explain. Nikvar ames lo ma'anos v'lo metapchos. Now, that's all before the kfura. Once the kfura occurs, so then at that point in time, no ma'anos, no metapchos. No vocals, no clapping. Ezuina shekulan onos ka'achas. Now, as far as Inu is concerned, so that means that they're all going to be standing off together, wailing, crying together. And Kina, Achaz Medabrez, Vekulan, Onos Achareha. Now, as far as Kina is concerned, so that's going to be responsive. Shenemar, Velamdena, Benosechem Nehi, Visha Rusa Kina, Pasuk and Yirmiyahu, we read it as one of the Haftarahs. So and so you see that the word Kina over here is basically responsive. Now, as far as the future is concerned, Bila Amavas Anetzach, Omach Hashem Elokim, Dima Me'al Kol Panim. Now, as far as Asilava is concerned, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove death. Death will be swallowed up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe away every tear. Okay. We start with the Gemara. Now, obviously, that was the last Mishnah in the Masechta, and the Mishnah ended off on words of comfort, meaning, obviously, this was certainly the third parak over here. This was a difficult Mishnayos, difficult Gemara to go through. And so at the end of the Mishnah, so obviously the Mishnayos over here give us some Divrei Tanchumim. Just a really interesting point over here in terms of Tosfos. See the top Tosfos on our Amud, and Tosfos points out, and this is going to be the bridge between this Masechta and the next Masechta. Now that's a little bit confusing because the next Masechta is Chagiga. What? So so Tosfos is of the position that Chagiga was the second to last Masechta in Seder Moed, and then was Moed Katan. Oh. So our Nusach HaGir says not that way. We have first Moed Katan and then Chagiga, as I mentioned already numerous times. So the order of the Masechtos in every Seder is a predicate of number of Prakim, right? You always start off with the largest Prakim, and then you move on in the Seder to the Masechtos with the smallest Prakim. So as you whittle down in Seder Moed to the last Masechtos, so what are you left down to? Chagiga and Moed Katan. Those are the two Masechtas have three Prakim. So it is a tie in terms of which has the smallest amount of Prakim, and so therefore which one should go last? Okay, so it could go either way. Chagiga, Moed Katan, Chagiga. So our Nusach is Moikatan Chagiga, but Tosfos clearly had a Nusach in which it was Chagiga than Moikatan. So according to Tosfos' Nusach, so now it makes sense. Meaning, now what are we going to do? So we're going to go from Moikatan, and then we're going to go to Yevamos. So Tosfos writes over here, because Yevamos is all about death, right? Yevamos is not thematically an uplifting Masechta. Meaning the only way that you can have the mitzvah of Yibam is only if somebody dies. And it even happens to be at the end of the Masechta, when we get to the end of Yevamos, Yevamos is a very large Masechta, when we get to the end, so we're also going to be talking more about death, right? Eidus Isha, right? The husband went away and he died, and the proof necessary in order to confirm that he died. That's the last couple of Prakim in Masechta Yevamos. So Yevamos is about death. So thematically, it makes sense as Tosos to go from Moikatan to Yevamos. That's the bridge between the two. We are Somech, Tosos writes. So, Samchinam Puranasa la Puranasa, Unechemta la Nechemta. Okay. So the bridge between the two. Anyway, we're going to start with the Gemara. Maya Marin, so what do these women say? So, in other words, so we see that the women are going to be Maspid. So, do they have refrains that are popular, that are common? So the Gemara says, yeah, they do actually. So, Amara Vaila Azla Vaila Chavila. Amara Vaneshe Deshach Nasiv Amar Nachi Vaila Azla Vaila Chavila. Okay, so the women would say, Rav reported this, Rav reports this as well, as far as the women of Shach Nasiv are concerned, they say, woe to the departed, meaning he left, and Vaila Chavila, and woe to the security, meaning that he was, while he was alive, he was entrusted with his neshama, and that neshama now goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the neshama is going to have a reckoning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's one popular refrain. The Gemara is going to go over a number of other popular refrains, popular back in the day. Obviously, nowadays, we're going to struggle to get through what any of these mean. Amar Rav Neshet Deshach Nesiv Amran. Rav gives us other refrains of the women who are Mikonein. And so here's another one. Good Garma Mikacha. Benam Temay Lantiche. So a little bit of bone comes off the teeth, and the water is returning back to the pot. Okay, so this is poetic. It's allegoric. And so what does it mean? So again, I struggle a little bit to understand what it means, but presumably what it means is basically things are returning back to the source, meaning they're going in the opposite direction. The neshama now is leaving the body, going back. Okay, so a reversal, so to say. Am Rav Neshed Deshach Nesiv Amar, and here comes another one, Atuf V'Kasu Torei, the mount should cover up, the Barami Barava Vehu, because the person was a great person. So in other words, everyone should be in a state of mourning, everyone should be, so to say, covered up, because the person who died was great. Amar Rav Neshed Deshach Nesiv Amran, Shiyuli Itzdala Demilsa, Labarchon Deshamei Zavdaya. So let's borrow some clothing for the person who finished up his clothing. Okay, so again, it's poetic, it's allegoric. It basically means that he's done, and he's finished, and people should respond to it. Amar Rav Neshed Deshach Nesiv Amran, Rahiv Nafal Amabra, Vizufsa Yazif. So run and fall on the bridges, and he should end up borrowing. Again, what exactly does that mean? So a couple of explanations, but basically the one explanation that I saw was that he was running around after money his whole life, and to what ends? Meaning, it ended up that he used the money anyway just to buy himself tachrichen. Okay, right. Not exactly. It doesn't sound like a eulogy so much, as it sounds a little bit more critical in nature, but okay. Amar Rav Neshed Deshach Nesiv Amarin, Achne Tagre, Azav Zige Mivdiku. So the brothers who are merchants. The person needs to be examined, needs to be checked to know whether or not he's a good person or not. Again, the basic idea over here is that his neshamah is going up to Shemaim, and he's going to go through a bedikah, he's going to be examined to see how his actions were over the course of his life. Here's one more. Musa ki Musa, everybody basically dies. Not basically. Everybody dies. Or Marin Chibulayu. The only thing that differentiates death between one death and another death is the amount of suffering that's endured before arriving at the actual death itself. Okay. Again, I'm not perfectly clear in terms of what we're trying to communicate this as part of a hesped, meaning the hesped, generally speaking, is to speak about the person. And so over here, what is exactly the goal and purpose over here of these kinds of statements? I don't fully appreciate or understand it, but okay. I'm sure if we were a little bit closer to the time, we would understand a lot better. I'm sure it was effective at the time. Tanya. Rebbe Meir Omer. A little bit of Agarata. Most of the remainder of today's daf is going to be Agarata. a little bit of halacha. Actually, we're going to, it's coming up at the end of this masechta, but here some agarata. Hi, Rabbi Meir Omer. So Rabbi Meir started with a pasuk in Koheles, seventh parak of Koheles. Tov alechas el beis avel. It's better to go to the house of mourning, and the pasuk goes on to describe rather than going to a simcha, even a chasna. And then the pasuk ad v'achay yiten alibo, and the person alive should really try to internalize this. So dvarim shel misa. So that means to say that what do you need to internalize? You need to internalize that you're going to die. So and therefore diyasped yispedune. So if you eulogize others, you yourself are going to be eulogized. Diyikvar yikberune. If you make it your business to bury others, you yourself are going to be buried. Diyatin yitanune. If you are going to lift the mace, meaning carry the mace, so you yourself are going to be carried. And diado yidlune. So if you raise your voice over the hesped of others, so people are going to raise their voice over you. So mida keneged mida, what comes around goes around, whatever cliche we can add over here. Basically, the way you're going to treat others is the way that you yourself are going to be treated. Iga da amre. Now, some understand it in the following manner. In terms of yidal, the lo yidal, yidlune. So if you do not raise yourself, meaning if you do not become arrogant and haughty, so then others are going to raise you. Okay, it's just another pshat. Dichsiv kitova malacha, alei heina. The pasuk in Mishle, and the basic idea over here is that people are going to raise you. All right, you have to read the end of the pasuk in order to really appreciate it. The pasuk goes on to write, hashpilcha lifnei nediv asheru einecha. You should lower yourself in front of the princess. Okay. In other words, you should not be arrogant. You should be humble. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara brings down the following episode. The death of the son, or in this case, we're going to say sons of Rabbi Shmuel. So the Arba Zekanim came to visit him and to provide him comfort. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. This grouping over here is a common grouping. So, Amar Lehem Rabbi Tarfon. So, before they go in, Rabbi Tarfon now basically speaks to a little huddle, if you will, prior to going in. Dusha Chacham Gadohu. So, Rabbi Shmuel is a tremendous Tam Chacham. Ubaki Ba'agaros, and he knows Agarata. Can we all make sure that nobody repeats what the other person is going to say? We're all going to provide a different Nechama, and please, let's all try to be original. In terms of a thought, let's not all just end up repeating. It's not gonna be effective. Amar Rabbi Akiva v'ani achron, and Rabbi Akiva wants everyone to know that he should go last. Okay. Pasach Rabbi Shmuel v'amar Rabbi. I'm sorry. Rabu avonosav tachvu avelav itriach rabosav pam rishonu shnia. So Rabbi Shmuel speaks first. Now this is a halacha that we're going to be learning later this morning, and that is that when you walk into the Beis Avel. So you shouldn't be opening your mouth first. In other words, protocol is that the Avil should speak first, and only after the Avil speaks, so then you should speak. So, as per the halacha that we're going to learn later on, so we actually see it put into play right over here, they go into the Beis Avil, and Rabbi Shmuel speaks first. And he says, look, I really feel bad. Meaning, I'm making you come out again and again. In other words, obviously, he's the one who lost, but he understands, however, that, okay, he's making other people work. So, tachvu evelav vitrich rabosa parmishon vishnia, first time, a second time that you have to come. Okay, so, and now that's the cue that allows the other Tanaim now to speak. Nene Rabbi Tarfon Vamar. So, Rabbi Tarfon now is the first one to speak amongst the Menachmim, and he quotes the pasuk regarding the death of Nadav and Avihu. Ve'achechem kobeis Yisrael yivkurs atzreifa. So, as far as the loss of Nadav and Avihu, the entire Jewish people are going to mourn. So, va'alodvarim kavachomerman Nadav ve'avihu shalo asu ala mitzvah achas. So they only did one mitzvah. Now, that is not to be understood on a simplest level. They did more than one mitzvah. They did many mitzvahs. They are tzaddikim. So mitzvah achas probably over here is a reference to on the day of their death. That's probably what it means. So shalom asu ala mitzvah achas dechsev ayikruva b'nei Aaron es adam elav. They offered karbanos on that day. So kach b'nafsha Rabbi Shmuel al achas kama v'chama. So as far as the sons of Rabbi Shmuel, so they learned, they taught others. And they were tremendous tzaddikim. So how much more so are the Jewish people going to be mourning the loss of your sons, Rabbi Shmuel? Okay, so that was the different tanchumim of Rabbi Tarfon. Nene Rabbi Yossi Aglili v'yamar. So now we're up to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So his tanchumim v'saftu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru oso. So the This is the death of the son of Yeravam. Son of Yeravam's name was Aviah. And so upon his death, Saftu lo kol Yisrael v'kavruoso. So the entire Jewish people, so they eulogized and they were part of the burial. V'alo dvarim kavachomer u'ma Aviah ben Yeravam. So as far as Aviah is concerned, shelo asa elo davar echatov. Dechziv bey, now he did one good thing. And that is Yan Nimsa bo davar tov. The pasuk goes on to describe that Kadosh Baruch Hu found a good thing that he did. And the entire Jewish people mourned him. Kach b'nafsho Rabbi Shmuel achas kama v'chama. So how much more so as it relates to the sons of Rabbi Shmuel who did more than one good thing. Now, my davar tov. Okay, good. So now we just learned together that Aviah was involved in a davar tov. What was that davar tov that he was involved in? So the Gemara goes on to describe Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. So actually, dissenting viewpoints in terms of what exactly it was. Charamar shibitel mishmarto. So, what he was supposed to do was guard and make sure that nobody would be going to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LeRegel. Just a little bit of background over here. We all know this. And that is that after the death of Shlomo HaMelech, so a schism in the Jewish people. Jewish people now were divided between the north and the south. And so the south was maintained by Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, and governed by Malchi Yehuda, right? Rechavam governed the south. As far as the north is concerned, so a defection, a major defection, 10 tribes defected to the north, and they were governed by the Melech Yeravam, Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam was concerned. This was the beginning of the division of the Jewish people, and doesn't end well, meaning they remain divided all the way up to and including the destruction of the 10 northern tribes. Sancheir of Melech Asher comes along a couple hundred years later, and he totally annihilates and he destroys. He actually doesn't kill them all. He sends them into exile. And we are unclear and unsure in terms of where they are to this very day. Okay, that's a very short synopsis. Meanwhile, let's go all the way back to the beginning of the division, where there Yeravam was concerned, meaning we just divided, but at the same time, however, there's a mitzvah incumbent upon every Jew that they're going to go to Yerushalayim on the Regalim. And now what's going to happen is that these northerners over here, the ones I govern over, so these northerners are going to go down to Yerushalayim and they're going to go to the base of Mikdash, and they're going to see, by definition, they're going to see Malchi Yehuda as they go down there. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, they may end up staying there. They may become sympathetic towards the south. So you know what we're going to do? We're not going to go and make Aliyah LeRego. He set up his own Mecca, if you will. So meanwhile, what he had to do is he had to make sure that there were guards on the roads going down south, so that nobody would head down south. One of those guards was Aviah, and what Aviah did is he left his post. So Bito Mishmarto, more than just left his post, meaning, right, he knocked down the guards and he went himself. So that was the Dever Tov. That's one pshat. Chanamar Shebito Pardei Sosho Shiv Yeravam Aviv Al Hadrachim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Berego. A second pshat, which is very similar to the first pshat, is that there were Pardes. Pardes usually is an orchard. But probably over here does not mean an orchard. It means that there were some sort of guards that were set up by Yeravam in order to make sure that people would not go down to Yerushalayim. And so what he did is he was mevatel pardes. He removed the orchards. Again, orchards over here probably not to be understood literally, but there was some impediment. Okay, these two pshatim are really the same pshat. I'm not sure why the Gemara presents it as if they are two differing ideas. But the basic idea is that he allowed people to go from the north down to the south for the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. Nen Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah v'amar. Okay, so now just to put us back in the context, so with the death of the sons of Rabbi Shmuel, so the Tanaim come in to provide divrei nechama. We saw the nechama given by Rabbi Tarfa, now by Rabbi Yossi, and now we're up to the nechama of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Nen Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah v'amar. Now, this pasuk is part of the Nevuas Yirmiyahu. It's an insay for Yirmiyahu, and it's regarding Tzidkiyahu. B'shalom tamuz v'mitzras avosecha malachim arishonim asher hayu lefanecha kein yisrufu lach. So you're going to die in peace, and you're going to be burnt like the other kings were burnt. The burning of the kings, not their bodies, but their possessions. The possessions of the kings were burnt. It's a way of showing honor to the king. Nobody's going to be using any of the things that you used. Okay, it's a way of honoring. It's Tzreifas HaMelech. So as far as the things that Tzidkiyahu did, he only did one good thing. Again, I don't think it's correct to understand this in that he only did one good thing, meaning not to be understood totally literally. Tzidkiyahu, the Gemara elsewhere describes him as being a righteous individual. It's actually kind of built into the name, right? He was called Tzidkiyahu. Okay, and generally the assumption is that a name is indicative of the persona. So I know it says that he did one good thing, but it also said that regarding Nadav and Avihu as well. So it probably means that in other words, we can pinpoint, we can identify one good thing that he did, and meanwhile they received tremendous hespedim. So and what was the one good thing that Tzidkiyahu did? So he took Yirmiyahu out of the mud, right? Yirmiyahu prophesied that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. He was telling everybody. He was even telling the soldiers, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, right? Don't fight. And obviously that's not good for the morale. So what they did is they took Yirmiyahu and they threw him into mud, so that he would be stuck there. So that he would die, whatever, regardless. But that's what they did. And what Tzidkiyahu did is that Tzidkiyahu removed him from the mud. So, and Tzidkiyahu received such honor for that one act that he did. So, kach b'nafsho Rabbi Shmuel achas kevekama. And so therefore, we're able to deduce that if that's what they're going to do for Tzidkiyahu, imagine the kind of espedim that are necessary and warranted by the loss of your sons. Nene Rabbi Kiva ve'amar. Now we know Rabbi Kiva's last because he said he's going to be last. And here we are now at the Nechama Rabbi Akiva. And he says the following, b'yamahu yigdal mispeid v'yushalayim kimispeid hadad rimon bebikas migidon. The pasuk in Zechariah. Now this should sound familiar because we did this earlier. We did this back in Megillah. So anyway, so the pasuk goes on to describe here in this pasuk in Zechariah that there's going to be eulogy. Now there's going to be is a reference to a future eulogy. The Gemara back in Megillah identified this as the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. So, but over here, Rabbi Kiva is using this pasuk in Zechariah now for as different tanchumim and hespedim for the loss of the sons of Rabbi Shmuel. On that day, the hesped is going to be as great as that given over Hadad Rimon and Bikas Migidon. So, Amar Rav Yosef Amala Targum and Daikra. Rav Yosef says, had it not been for the targum of this pasuk, Lo Hava Yadana my Kamar, we would not know what we're talking about. There was a misbeid of Hadad Rimon Bibikas Migidon. At least as far as we know historically, no such person that had a hesped in such a place. So we need Targum. And what does the Targum goes on to describe? And we're reading now the Targum. And the Targum is Be'inahu. Now this is a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah is Navi. Remember what we learned back in Megillah in the very beginning? Who's writing Targum on Navi? Yonasan ben Uziel. Unklus is responsible for the Targum on Chumash. Yonasan ben Uziel is responsible for the Targum of Navi. What about the Targum of Ksuvim? Remember what we said back in Megillah? No Targum. We have Targum, but at least at the time of the writing of the Gemara, so there was no Targum. The Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want a Targum to be written on Ksuvim. If I remember correctly, Rashi over there cites that if you write a Targum on Daniel, incorporating that Targum is going to be the Kates, when Mashiach is going to come. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want that information to be revealed, therefore, no Targum on Ksuvim. Okay, anyway. So, Be'idna Hahu, at that time, Yaski, meaning what the Targum is writing is that on that day, meaning on the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, so Yaski, Mispedeb Yushalayim, Kimisped Da'achab ben Amri, Dekalto Yaseh Hadad Rimon bar Tav Rimon, Uchemisped Yoshio bar Amon, Dekalto Yaseh Paruch Hagira, Bibikas Migidom. So it's on that very day in Yerushalayim, it will be like the misbeit of Achav ben Amri, who was killed by Hadad Rimon, and like the death of Yoshiel Bar Amon, who was killed by Paruch Hagira in the valley of Bikas Megiddo. So really what this pasuk in Zechariah is doing is actually, it's a compound of two separate hespedim, and but these two people we do know about, and we do know that they received a tremendous hesped. Okay. Yeah, he was a Rasha, but nevertheless, he received a tremendous espe. Yes, that's correct. Halod varm kal v'chomer ma'achav melchisos shel asa ala davar echad tov dichsiv. Now, as far as Achav is concerned, so he did one good thing, and that is v'amelchaya ma'amad b'merkava nochach haram. So what he did is that he stood up in his chariot. So he was hit by arrows. And but nevertheless, he stood up in his chariot, despite the fact that he was dying. and in order to raise the morale of all the troops. So kach banav shel Rabbi Yishmael achas kama v'kama. So if Achav, who did just but one good thing in his life, and received that kind of hesped, so imagine the necessity of hespedim for your sons, Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. Amar le Rava le Rava bar Mari k'siv bei b'tzitkiyahu b'shalom tamos. So we mentioned the death of Tzitkiyahu, and that he should die b'shalom. So the Gemara now is going to spend a little bit of time over here on that point. Rava says to Rabba bar Mari, by Tzitkiyahu it says b'shalom tamos. Uksiv v'es einei Tzitkiyahu iver. Meanwhile, he was blinded. So it's a little bit difficult, meaning he was promised by the Navi, Bisham Tamus, that you're going to die in peace. And meanwhile, he was blinded. Doesn't sound like a peaceful death. So Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was bothered by this very question. And he said a pshat. Shemesh Nebuchadnezzar B'yamav. So the fact that Nebuchadnezzar died during the days of Tzidkiyahu, so that was the shalom. In other words, so at least he was able to, I was going to use the word see, but not exactly. But he was able to know in his lifetime that the destroyer of the Beis HaMikdash himself died. Okay. Amar Rava l'Rava bar Mari k'siv baby Yoshiyahu, which says regarding Yoshiyahu, l'chein hineni osivcha el avasecha v'ne'esavta el kvarasecha b'shalom. So I'm going to gather you to your fathers and you're going to be buried. This is in regard to Yoshiyahu k'siv, and when Yoshiyahu was fighting with Paro, so v'yoru ayoru l'melch Yoshiyahu. So they slung spears and arrows at Yoshiyahu. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shaso Kikivra. He was speared so many times he was like a sieve. Amar Lehachi, Amar Rav Yochanan Shalom Chara Beis Hamikdash Biyamav. So it of course begs the question where it says in the former pasuk regarding Yoshiyahu in Malachim Beis in the 22nd perek. So it says that you're going to return to your forefathers Bishalom, and meanwhile. It was like a sieve. So what does that mean? So the Gemara, again, Rav Yochanan says a pshat, Shalom Chara, Beis HaMikdash B'yamav, the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed in his day. And in that regard, that was the Shalom. I'm Rav Yochanan. Eim Menachem Rav Shalom Ardavar, Ad Sheyiftach Aval. Okay, the people who are going to go visit the Aval, so they're not allowed to talk until the Aval speaks. Now, we just saw that regarding Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael was visited by all these Tanaim, and they did not speak until Rabbi Yishmael himself spoke. And the Gemara now puts that into halacha. So, Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Achreichem Pasachi of Espio, Vehadar Vayan Eliphaz Atzaimani. So, Eov was in Avelis over the loss of his sons. And so, first Eov spoke, and then only afterwards, Vayan Eliphaz Atzaimani, Eliphaz then spoke. Amar Rabbi Abba, minayin la'avo shemesa b'rosh. Now, where is the Avo is going to be sitting? He's going to be sitting at the head. Okay, so if there is a clear configuration in terms of where the head is, right, usually it's some sort of circle, and it's kind of hard to identify exactly what it means at the head, but if configured in a manner in which you know where the head is, that's where the Avo is going to be sitting. He'll sit at the spot where the head usually sits. Shenemar, the pasuk in Eov, Evchar darkam ve'eshev rosh ve'eshkon kemelch begadun. I'm going to be like the king at the head of the troops when the Ava is going to be comforted. Now, Yinachem Achrina Mashma. And then the Gemara is a little bit confused because the word is Yinachem. It sounds like not the comforted, but it sounds like the comforters, meaning the Menachemim. It sounds like the Pasuk is describing they're the ones who are going to be Kemelech sitting at the head. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yinachem Ksiv. No, meaning that the we have the ability to darshan the pasuk by using different vowels, and even though the pasuk does in fact write yinachem, but it could be read yinachem. That's nifal. That's talking about the one being comforted, not the comforters. Okay, and since we could darshan the pasuk in that manner, so therefore it's talking about the aval. Marzutra Amar Mehacha. Marzutra also has the same idea that an aval should sit barosh. He learns it from a different pasuk. Visar mirzach surchim. So mirzach, the mirzach is a contraction of two words, marzach, right? The bitter one, the one who's clouded in thought. So nasa sar lisruchim. So he's going to be the sar. He's going to be the head, meaning we're going to be sitting him at the head spot. If you remember, just a couple of days ago or yesterday, so we said that an avil's going to, everybody stands up for the nasi, chutz me avil, with exception to the avil. Avil doesn't stand up for the nasi. Right, the Gemara yesterday, chutz mi nasi, I'm sorry, chutz mi ava v'chola, also a chola as well, but the aval does not stand up for the nasi. So that was the halacha, we learned it yesterday. So when a nasi walks in to provide comfort for the aval does not stand up. So we asked the question, why not? Meaning, is a mitzvah to stand up for the nasi? So a couple pshatim, I don't know how many I offered, I don't remember, but just, it was just yesterday, that's great. But one of the pshatim is that because the aval is like a melech. So right, that's the psukim that we just saw here. So the aval's like a melech, he's Yoshev Barosh, and so therefore he doesn't stand up for the nasi. He himself, to a degree now, currently is to be treated like a nasi. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, minayin lechasim shemesa Barosh. The Gemara now is giving us another pshat, but this is now regarding a chasan, obviously. Different stage of life, different cycle. So chasam meisa barosh and amar ke chasan yichaher pe'er. The ma kohen barosh of chasam barosh. So we know the kohen is always placed at the front. He's always the first one with, as far as aliyas is concerned and benching is concerned. And so the chasan also is barosh. He's going to be at the head. The kohen gufei minalan de tana de bei rabbi yishmael v'kidash kol lechol davar shebikdusha liftoch rishon levarch rishon litol mane yafar rishon. So you always give the Kohen as part of the mitzvah of Kibud HaKohen. So you always give him first. The Kriyas HaTorah, you give him the first Aliyah. So as far as benching is concerned, he's the one who has provided the opportunity to lead in the Zimun. Lito Mani Yafir Rishon. So whenever dividing and apportioning, you give to the Kohen first. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Kashi Yitzias Neshama Min HaGof. As far as the Neshama leaving the Gof. So you will recall that just in yesterday's daf, we talked about the sensation, at least trying to give some sort of description of what the sensation is like of the neshama leaving the gulf. Now, for various amarim that we learned yesterday, so it wasn't so painful. It was like bloodletting. It was like taking a strand of hair out of milk. So, but these are that was a description of tzaddikim who obtained a certain level. There are other tzaddikim, as we talked about also, who die without the malchum office and just ayide neshika. And so therefore, that for them, it involved no pain whatsoever. So over here, we're going to be trying to give a description, a sensation of the feeling that it is. Obviously, it's beyond difficult to put this into any kinds of terms that we understand, but the Gemara will.
Maybe
so
it means the reluctance of the neshama to leave the body.
You're right. So you see it's neshama min agof. So kitzipar b'fi aveshet. So it's like tzipar b'fi aveshet. Okay, a little bit difficult to understand what this means, but again, this whole business over here is difficult as we're trying to give some sort of description. Look at Rashi over here again. Very few Rashis on all these Gemaras, but Rashi on the top of the Amud on Chav Tesamad Aleph kechav sheish bo kesher v'yotzei bikoshi min haToran. So you have some sort of knotted rope, and you're trying to remove the knotted rope, and the knots obviously are going to create an impediment. And as you're trying to move the knotted rope out of its slot, so the obviously, it's going to be difficult to do so. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ke peturi b'fi veshet. A similar idea over here, but Rashi, koshin shtei sinus v'yachan. Two boats were tied together, and these ropes are now trying to be undone. It's difficult. Okay. In other words, and I'm saying this without any kind of specificity, it's painful. It's not pleasant. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chaisa hanifter min ames. So when leaving the mace, so you should be saying lech bishalom. And a nifter menachai, and when departing from a person who's living, lo yomer lech lo lech bishalom ela lech lishalom. The Gemara goes on to support. Nifter min hamace lo yomer lech lishalom ela lech bishalom shenemar. So ve'ata tavol avosecha bishalom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, by the Bris Ben Abisarim, that you're going to return back to your fathers, bishalom. And that obviously is forecasting when Avram dies, but the correct phrase is bishalom. And nifter menachai lo yomer lo lech bishalom, ela lech lishalom. Sherei David shamar lo avshalom lech bishalom, v'halach v'nitla. So David says to avshalom lech bishalom, which is not what you should be saying to a chai. You should be saying it to a mace. And what happens is that avshalom ends up hanging himself, right? Unclear exactly whether he hung himself, whether he was hung. Okay, a little bit of ambiguity, but he was hung by his hair. Okay. Yisro shamar l'Moshe lech lishalom. Now Yisro, when he leaves Midian to go back to Mitzrayim, so and when saying goodbye, Yisro says lech lishalom, halach v'itzleach. So Moshe was successful. I'm Rabbi Levi Kol Hayotzei Beis HaKnesses the Beis HaMedrash Beis HaMedrash LeBeis HaKnesses Zochel Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. So when a person goes from Shul to the Beis HaMedrash and from Beis HaMedrash back to Shul, so in other words, in his life he's involved in spiritual matters. He's davening, he's learning. From learning, he's davening. So for such an individual, he's Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. He will have a certain extra connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. After 120 Shenemer Yachol Michael Lachayil Yeira El Kim B'tzion, Pasuk in Tehillim. Somebody who goes from strength to strength. Strength meaning one strength is the base of Knesset. Another strength is the base of Medrash. So he will be seen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Chia Barashi, Amar Rav Tamid Chachamim, Ein Lahem Menucha, Afilo La'olam Haba. Tamid Chachamim will have no rest. Shenemo Yechum Michael Lachayil Yeira El Kim B'tzion. So what does that mean? They'll have no rest. Obviously, right? The death is described primarily by Menucha. So what does it mean they're not going to have rest? What it means is, there are a number of ways to say it. This is not the only way to say it. But what it means probably is that the Talmidei Chachamim in this world were involved in spiritual matters. And so therefore, what their involvement was in this world is going to just continue and perpetuate in the next world. The next world is all spiritual matters. So fine, so that's probably what the Gemara means. But I'm sure there are more than a number of ways to say it. Hadron alach elam agachin slikon la mesechta. You cut mazel tov to everyone who has concluded and completed the mesechta. A quick recap of today's daf. So we learned about the limits of a spadim on Chol HaMoed. So when you're doing a hespad on Chol HaMoed, so because of the simchas of yantiv, so it should be mitigated. How much to what degree should be mitigated? So that's what we learned in the Mishnah. So the women will do the procedure of ma'anos, which means that they'll do the vocals, but they're not going to be metapchos. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel on that had a slightly differing position. Anyway, what about Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim? So again, there's a Simcha Siyom, not as great as Yantav, but there's a Simcha Siyom, and therefore, you should do Ma'anos, you can even do Metapchos, but you can't do Mekononos. Mekononos is the most intense form, and that cannot be done on those days. Once the body's buried, so then no Ma'anos, no Metapchos. Okay. And then the Mishnah went on to describe what exactly is Ma'anos, what's metapchos, and what's mekononos. The various eulogies that were given by the women back in the day. So the Gemara gave us a half dozen different eulogies, poetic statements that were said by these women at the time, much better understood at the time. Okay. Other topics that we covered today, a big portion of today's daf, really yesterday, but big portion today was the death of the sons of Rabbi Shmuel. They died, we don't know cause of death, but we do know, however, how he was comforted. So he was visited by other Tanayim and comforted by the other Tanayim. They huddled before they went in. They all came in. They said divrei tanchumim, but only after Rabbi Shmuel himself spoke, which brought us to a halacha, which is a halacha we saw today, that when you go into the Beis Avel, so you shouldn't speak until the Avel himself speaks. Okay, so you should remain silent until the Avel himself speaks. And finally, the last things that we discussed today were the sensation of the neshama leaving the guf. Gemara tries to give us a sense of what it's like. It's difficult. That's basically what we get out from the Gemara. And last thing that we did is that what should be the proper way in terms of saying goodbye to somebody? Should you be saying lech lishalom or lech bishalom? And it really depends on whether you're talking about a chai or a mace. Adkan.